All right, well, we are in the book of Acts. We are almost finished, and I do want to challenge you all, if you have not read through the book of Acts yet, before the end of the year, take time to read through this book. We've almost been a year in it, and to read it through yourself, this would be a great opportunity for you. We are in Acts chapter 28. We only have this week, and next week will be the last in Acts. So if you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read Acts chapter 28. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Acts 28. After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had disease also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to hear from your word. And it is true, and we thank you for, as we look at Paul's life and how you used his life for the spreading of the gospel, that you still desire to use our lives to share the good news of Jesus. And so help us to hear today. Help us to learn what you'd want us to learn as we look at your word. Help me to preach clearly and plainly, Father. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It was on an ordinary winter day in 1961, there was an MIT meteorologist named Edward Lorenz ran some routine experiments, and he found some unusual results. Lorenz discovered that seemingly tiny and insignificant changes in his data could produce huge differences in the final result. At first, Lorenz and other scientists in the field of chaos theory called this the sensitive dependence on initial data. That's a mouthful. Fortunately, later on, Lorenz used a simpler term, the butterfly effect. In 1972, Lorenz presented a scientific paper entitled Predictability. Does the flap of a butterfly's wings in Brazil set off a tornado in Texas? According to Lorenz's theory, the butterfly's wing flapping doesn't actually cause a tornado, but it can start a chain reaction leading to giant changes in worldwide weather patterns. In other words, even tiny, insignificant movements or actions can produce huge changes that affect millions of people. When we read the first 10 verses of Acts chapter 28, we are brought to a discovery that is very unusual, and it's stated there by Luke himself as he writes this, that they were shown unusual kindness. Now, when we think about kindness and we think about doing good for people, we don't want to allow the world to hijack that word and make it to be what it means. Kindness and acceptance are two different things. I can disagree with you and still love you. I can hold to what I believe is true, and I can still show kindness and generosity and be gracious to you. We don't always have to agree on everything in order for me to treat you kindly. Kindness is how we treat one another. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we are supposed to treat others kindly. We are to show kindness and generosity, and we are to do good works, not so that we would get the glory, but that God would get the glory. Let men see your good deeds on earth so that they might glorify my Father in heaven. Okay, so he gets the glory. So when Christians do kindness, it's for Christ's sake. Amen. You see that? That's the way it should be. Now, when Jesus was teaching, he also taught that there's going to be a day when we're going to stand before him on judgment. And he told a story of a time when the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. And he's going to say unto the righteous, "Well done, for when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in prison, you visited me." And it says that the righteous will say to him on that day, "Lord, when did we see you naked and clothe you? And when did we see you hungry and feed you? And when did we go visit you in prison?" And the Lord will say to them on that day, "When you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me." Do you see that? Moments of tiny acts of kindness, of Christian love, of showing the love of God through how we live, moments of just simple acts of doing things for other people in the name of Jesus has eternal consequences. And it touches people's lives. And so we're going to have an opportunity every single day to treat other people with kindness, to love, to share the love of Jesus in very practical ways, whether it be through just smiling, whether it be through saying somebody, "Hey, how are you doing today?" or "Good morning." It's amazing how self-centered we become as a culture, to where we don't even see people around us. Why? Because we walk around with this thing in front of our face all the time. And it's a wonder that there's not more people that are, you know, but running into walls and falling downstairs, because we walk with this thing right there and we look and we don't even see people next to us. So maybe an act of kindness is putting this thing away and actually seeing people and asking someone, how are you doing today? You see that? Doesn't have to be extravagant things. Doesn't have to be like, "I'm going to be a missionary all across the world." There's simple things that we can do on a daily basis to show the love and kindness of God. Amen? And so when we look at this story, we see that that Paul, along with the crew, so on this crew, we looked at this last week, that their ship was torn through a storm, and God saved them and delivered them because Paul was on the ship and because God's hand was upon Paul's life and God was going to save Paul. Everyone else got the promise and the blessing of being on that ship, and God saved all of the men. None of them perished, but the ship broke and they are swimming. Some of them are swimming onto shore. Some of them are floating on shore, but they're arriving to this island that they have no idea where they are. They're arriving onto shore to a place they don't know. They don't know where they are. And they are greeted by what your Bible says as native people. Now, if you have a King James Version, it says barbarians, okay? And the reason why it says barbarians is because to a Roman, anyone who was not a Roman or a Jew was a barbarian, was a foreigner, was a native. And so when you read your New Testament, you'll read where Paul says that we preach the gospel not only to Greeks, but to barbarians, but to natives, but to foreigners as well. And so here we have this situation where they're on approaching this shore, and there's natives, there's foreigners on this land. And something amazing happens. These natives do not take advantage of their situation. These natives show them unusual kindness. Now, I believe that this is a highlight of this little story, because Luke tells us in three different ways how kind that these native people were to them. You know what's ironic about this whole thing? Is that all through the book of Acts, as we've been reading and we've been looking at Paul's lives, the people that should have been kind to Paul, you would think would have been his own people. His own Jewish people. The people that were of the same nationality as him. But they didn't show him kindness, no, they showed him hatred. And here we have a ship full of Roman soldiers. We have a ship full of sailors, and we have a ship full of prisoners. And here are these people coming on to their land, and instead of taking advantage of the situation and trying to kill them and steal their things, no, what do? They love on them, and they care for them. That's why you always have to be careful about judging people just by the way they look, by where they come from, by what language they speak, by what color of skin they have. Because sometimes you'll discover it's the people that you think is going to show you kindness won't, and the people you think would never show you kindness sometimes do. And so here we go. Here we have these native people, and they welcome them. They could have taken advantage of them. They were vulnerable. All of their stuff had been busted up in the ship. It was gone. It was floating around. They could have stole all the supplies. They could have been the ones to, they could have been savages, and they could have killed them, but they didn't. You know, it isn't ironic how we behave sometimes, even as a nation and a people. Like, we've all seen this played out on TV. There's been something unfortunate happen, and it causes people to get in a riot and a debate. And because we dislike what happened so well in America, what we'll do is we will form a riot, and we will go into a certain city, and we will protest, and we will just start causing all kinds of chaos. And the very people who live in that city will bust through the storefronts and steal an uncountable amount of shoes and TVs, and they'll set cars on fire and burn couches, and they'll do it to their own people. Isn't that crazy? What's wrong when a society loses their compassion for their neighbor or their love for their neighbor? Well, these native people, they show extreme amount of kindness. What do? They fix a big fire. Now, why do they make a fire? Well, the ship is wrecked in late September or early October. It's cold and it's rainy. That's what it tells us. Have you ever been wet and cold and it's rainy and you don't have an umbrella and you don't have any way to protect you? How fun is that? Not very. And so here these guys come up, and they're just wet, soaking. They're probably coughing. They've been hungry. All this stuff's going on. And they build a huge fire for them. Well, what I like about Paul is not a man of inaction. Paul's just not going to wait and sit there and let them serve him. He's also going to, he's a servant. And so what does he do? He goes and he gathers up some sticks and some wood, and he starts throwing some wood on the fire as well. And he starts helping those people. And as he's doing that, it's cold. There's a viper in the midst of the wood. And this viper is on its way going into hibernation because of the cool weather. And that heat warms the viper back to where it's alert. And as Paul's throwing the wood down, this viper comes out and whoosh, snatches onto his hand. Now, I don't know what you would do in that moment, but I'd be gone. I would have been gone. This viper grabs onto his hand, and Paul just flings that thing back in the fire. And I can imagine he just starts picking up some more wood, gathering on the fire. Now, when you read the Bible, you have to use your imagination. When I read the Bible, I start picturing it, right? I start trying to picture, visualize it in my mind. This to me, you know, as he's throwing this stuff on the fire, and that snake comes out, I can imagine all the natives, people's eyes getting that big, thinking, oh, they think he's dead, right? They think he's a dead man. And they go, oh, this man must have been a murderer. Justice. He escaped from the ship, but the snake got him. And they're sitting there waiting for him to swell up and die. They're watching him. Now, this is the moment in my sermon where I get to call a timeout And I'm going to get on a little pastor soapbox. Do you mind if I do that? I don't do that a whole lot. Would you grant me permission just to get on a little soapbox just for a moment, just divert just a little bit? Here's what happens is, as a pastor, I see some of the crazy things people post on Facebook. And it just disturbs me. Now, you know, not you all, not the third service people. It's the first and second service people, you know. And so I've got to tell you all this so that you can help them, okay? All right. So just some pet peeves of mine, because it'll make sense here in just a moment. But this, here's one of it, okay? Here's one pet peeve. When you're going to pray for somebody, you're going to send out, you're going to pray for somebody, and I read this, sending you good vibes. What? Good vibes? You can keep your vibes, right? I don't want your vibes. You keep your vibes to yourself. I don't need your vibes. Or this one, I'm thinking about you. You're in my thoughts. Well, can I be just honest with you? Your thoughts really can't do much for me. Your good vibes and your thoughts can't do a bit of good for me. But what can is you get down on your knees and you call out to the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, and you call my name before the throne room of God, and you lift my name up before him, and you say, can you help Grant? He's in a situation. Lord, I ask and beseech you that you would be on him and have your hand upon him. Now that can do me a lot of good. And please, if you pray for me, just put out there on Facebook, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm lifting your name before the Father in heaven. That means more than good vibes and thoughts. Okay? There you go. So there's my soapbox. And my last one that kind of connects, this is how I justify it. What are these people thinking? So this native people, they have an incorrect thought. He must be a murderer. Justice has been served. Karma has worked once again. Karma is not a Christian belief. So please stop talking about karma. Or quoting Buddha, or Confucius, or Gandhi. Just stop it. All right? We are Christian people. Now, Jesus had to correct some of the theology of his own disciples. In John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, as he passed by, this is Jesus with his disciples, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? You see that? It's called retribution theology. Meaning that if you're born with a deformity, or if you're born with some sickness, obviously it must have been something either this man, either he did something wrong and it caused his blindness, or his parents did something wrong and it caused his blindness. That God is he's waiting. He's just waiting for you to do something wrong, say something wrong, to mess up so that he can club you over the head and say, there, gotcha. That's what they're thinking. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus had to correct this. He said, no, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So when Paul gets bit by this viper, you know, I believe that this is that this is a demonstration, that God's going to use this as a demonstration to show his greatness. Sometimes things happen in your life so that God might get glory and honor through it. Now, there are other times that things happen just because they happen. Because we live in a cursed world. We live in Genesis chapter 3 and following. We don't live in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We live after the fall. We live under the curse. We live in a fallen, sin-filled world where sometimes things just happen. And so there was a dialogue among Jesus. They were bringing some things to Jesus and saying, what about this and what about that? What about this that happened? Does that mean that was that God bringing judgment? And he says, no. Look at Luke chapter 13, starting with verse 1. There were some present at the very time who told him, telling Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. There were some Galilean Jews who Pilate came in and brutally murdered. And they ask him this question. Do you think, and then he answers, Jesus answers them and says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? What Jesus is saying, are you saying that the Galileans who were murdered, brutally murdered by Pilate, were they worse sinners than other Galileans? Is that why you think that they got murdered? Was it due them? Did they deserve that? Is that what you're asking? And Jesus says, no. He says, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then Jesus brings up something that happened. He says, or these 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. There was a construction. There was a tower that was built. And by some accident, the tower collapsed and killed 18 people. And Jesus says to them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? He's like, do you think that because these men died in this tragic accident, it was because they deserved it, because they were horrible men, and the reason why some people didn't die is because they were better and they lived better? And he says, no. But unless you repent, you all will likewise perish. Job chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground, yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Sometimes accidents happen. Just because we live in a sin-filled world has nothing to do with God's trying to get you. Now, there are times when God does discipline his children. And there are situations in which things will happen to us and God's getting our attention. But not every time. And so what we've got to do is we got to be discerning. And if we are believers in Jesus and we're going through hardship or trials or sufferings and or pain or doubts and fears and all that, and instead of trying to say, God's mad at me, and I just throw in the towel. No, you just look to God and say, God, I don't know all the reasons why I'm going through what I'm going through right now, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust that you are a God who's going to work it out for your good. And I'm going to believe in you and trust in you and I place my faith in you. If you will learn to do that, boy, it'll make your life a lot more peaceful. Right? Just trust that God has you in his hands. And so Paul, when he's reaching down, he gets bit by this viper. He ain't thinking, oh no, what's going to happen to me? Lord, why? Why? And starts waving. No, he just flings that sucker off and gets back to work. So when things come at you, you just shake it off. Just put that thing back in there and say, I'm not gonna let that distract me. I'm not gonna let that take me away from what God's doing in my life. I'm gonna still serve him, I'm gonna love him, and I'm gonna follow him, and I'm gonna go all the way. And so they see Paul and they're watching, trying to see if he's gonna swell up. And they're looking, I can picture them like picking stuff up and still keeping an eye on Paul, thinking this guy, it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. And they're watching him and they're looking at him. And it says, after a long while happened, I guess after time they thought he should already be dead by now, they go, he must be a god. Talk about a pendulum swing, right? He's a murderer. Oh, he must be a god. And so now, hey, they're thinking, this guy's amazing. And then they start, loving on him, treating him, caring for him. And then one of the chief villagers, one of the chiefs in the village, they're brought to him, Publius. And it says that he entertained them hospitably for 3 days. Again, this is an unusual kind of act that you wouldn't expect from a foreigner. But he shows kindness. And Paul, then he gets to grant kindness back to them, doesn't he? I mean, he heals his father. On this island, there was a disease called Malta fever. It's suspected that it came from the goat's milk on that particular island. And so many people would get sick and have this sickness. And so he heals the man's father, and then many other people who also are sick, they get brought to Paul, and he lays hands on them, and he heals them. And God does an amazing work through the hands of Paul. And again, it says in verse 10, they also honored us greatly. And when they were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Do you see how kind and generous they were to them? Boy, they took care of them, didn't they? Be kind. That's what we're supposed to do. Romans, let me read Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Listen to this. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hebrews 13 says, do not let brotherly kindness go undone. For some of you have entertained angels unaware. We are called to live a life of compassion and kindness. Now again, kindness isn't tolerance. Kindness is showing compassion to someone, treating people with dignity. Caring for people. Jesus told a story about a good Samaritan. Now, we call the parable a good Samaritan. And to us, we think a Samaritan is good. But not so in the Jewish eyes. In the Jewish eyes, Jesus is telling a story. And the hearers are Jewish. It says a certain man went down. Was going up to coming down from Jerusalem, and he fell among some robbers and thieves, and they beat him and they took away his things, and he's laying down there almost dead, and a rabbi comes by and just passes by. Levite comes by and just passes by, and then a Samaritan comes by. Ooh, changes the storyline. Now to a Jew, and they hear the word Samaritan, they don't think, oh, this is going to end well. They think, oh gosh, a Samaritan? Not one of those people. Is he going to kill him? And it says that the Samaritan bends down, shows compassion, wraps his wounds, gives him something to drink, puts him on his animal, takes him to the inn, tells the innkeeper, hey, this guy, whatever he needs, put it on my tab. I'll take care of him. And then Jesus asks him, who is the true neighbor? And it's the Samaritan. In Micah 6, verse 8, I love this verse. We got this on the wall. Our daughter's named Micah. And we got it in her room. It says, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. You see that? To do justice. To do what is right. To do what is honorable. To live a life of integrity. To love justice and to love do justice and love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Why does the Christian, why are we called to be kind and compassionate? Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving each other, for as in Christ, that is what he did for you. We are supposed to show kindness and love. Why? Because God has shown so much kindness and mercy and compassion upon us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we added no value to God, God still died for us. It's easy to love people that are nice to you. It's easy to love people that you agree with. Oh, it's harder to love people and treat people kindly when you disagree with them. Jesus said, when you throw a party, don't just throw a party for everybody that you know because and people that are well-to-do because those people, they can invite you back to the party. No, go out to the highways. Bring the lame, the poor, the weak, and you feed them. And great will be your reward in heaven. He's been so good to us, even when we were unlovable. Can you hear that? Can you hear it? Oh, that just goes against the sound of our culture because we've been taught for so long, no, everybody's good and you're wonderful and I've got 32 trophies to prove it. But the Bible says we were sinners, haters of God, but yet God showed mercy on us anyway. How many of y'all realize we didn't add any value to God when he saved us? He saved us by his grace. And he transforms us and he can use us for his glory. He didn't save us because we were a great save. God didn't look down and say, I got to have that Grant Canoy. Woo! No. Titus chapter 3 says this. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's what our life was like apart from Christ, he says. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Now watch. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see that? Because of his loving kindness, he lavished on us the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because you've shown kindness and love and grace to me, I need to extend that to other people. And as a Christian, I'm to live my life with compassion and kindness for the sake of Christ. Not so that I get a pat on the back, but so that I might glorify and honor my Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. This morning, there may be an individual here. They've never surrendered to faith in Jesus. They're still living in that, a slave to their passions and desires. But Lord, today you've spoken to their heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've tapped on them, and you've said, hey, I've got something better for you. I want to show my kindness to you. I want to save you from your sin and give you a hope and a future. So Lord, if that's what you're doing right now, would you speak to hearts? Would you transform minds? Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you and they've never placed their faith in you, Lord, would you let them see how kind and compassionate, how gracious and merciful you are? And Lord, would you empower them and enable them to call upon your name for salvation? And Father, for those of us who know you, who've been saved, may we always give you praise for how good you are. And may we never take for granted your kindness. And may we be people who show that and pour that out on others. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.